recording calling in progress.
What did you say?
We now turn the recording calling in progress.
What did you say?
We now turn the recording calling in progress.
What did you say?
We now turn the recording calling in progress.
What did you say?
We now turn the recording calling in progress.
The number you have reached, 1, has been changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it. The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Hello, this is the phone mail system. If you are calling from your own extension, push enter or pound. If not, you may either enter your extension or your name. To enter an extension, dial the extension and then push enter or pound. To enter your name, dial your last name followed by first name until recognized. If you are calling from your own extension, push enter or pound. If not, you may either enter your extension or your name. To enter an extension, dial the extension and then push enter or pound. To enter your name, dial your last name followed by first name until recognized.
Just hold on a second.
If you are calling from your own extension, push enter or pound. If not, you may either enter your extension or your name. To enter an extension, dial the extension and then push enter or pound. To enter your name, dial your last name followed by first name until recognized. If you are entering a name, push stop or star. When you have finished dialing an extension, push enter or pound. If you do not push a key in 5 seconds, you will be disconnected.
This edition of Pacifica News was originally broadcast last night on WUSB. Pacifica News can be heard Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and Tuesday through Saturday at 6:30 a.m.
And that little bit of nonsense was brought to you here in Brain Damage. It was our April Fool's joke, because this is not the morning edition of Pacifica News. This is the weekly edition of Brain Damage. It's coming to you a bit late. Sorry. These things happen. And there's not much any of us can do about it. It's all in the past, so there's no point even dwelling upon it. I won't mention it again if you don't. It's 24 minutes. Okay, I know I'm 24 minutes late. 24 minutes after 10 o'clock. Okay, that's the only reference I will make to it from this point on, that we are beginning the show late. It's a call-in program, among other things, and the number to call in on is 632... The number to call in on is... Wow, that's a weird one. The number to call in on is 632-6901, area code 516. And happy April Fool's Day to one and all. Don't know if people... Oh. Speaking of which...
what?
Come on in. Well, we just mentioned that it was April Fool's Day, and I saw you two go by.
You heard me go by.
Chris, I'm surprised they're still letting you in here.
Why?
Well, every time you come by, you're wearing something else metallic on you. Now it's you have those little things on your shoes.
Spurs
on your shoes.
Aren't you familiar with this?
That little horns
on
your head
on?
Now. It's, yeah. It's
you on. See the horns? Are they nice?
The horns are great.
They're growing in, though.
They are.
Very slowly.
I thought you bought them.
No, you have to do something really satanic. And then they grow in.
What's as long as I have you.
You know that thunderstorm last night?
Yeah, it was a
that
good one.
Was me.
Chris practicing. What's the deal with satanic worshiping in Setauket playgrounds? Well, I've been hearing this from somebody. Local newspapers have been saying.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, Setauket playgrounds are practicing satanic worship or something like that. They found.
I don't
like,
think that's cool in a playground.
Mangled raccoons.
No, that's not cool.
Well, I don't think playgrounds are a proper place.
Maybe, I would hurt animals.
Maybe beaches or something, but not playgrounds.
People, I would hurt.
Yeah.
Animals, no.
People you have hurt, Chris. People you have hurt, yes.
What?
What's the matter? Nice leather jacket.
Oh, okay. So I'm wearing a leather jacket. I gave in to the peer pressure and I bought one. I'm sorry.
You're a vegetarian, though.
I know.
And you wear a leather jacket.
I was watching this thing on 2020.
Uh-huh.
And it made me feel very guilty, and I was thinking of not wearing this anymore.
Uh-huh.
But it's so warm. And it has just the right amount of pockets.
Chris, let me ask you a question.
Good excuse.
Ask me a question.
What's your long-distance company, Chris?
I have no idea.
You don't know who your long-distance company... You know, you're typical. You are typical. Do you know in back there what your long-distance company is? Come
Rome.
Up to the microphone and talk.
Actually, I don't have a phone, really. So I guess it's Rome.
Rome is not a long-distance company. Yeah, here on campus, you don't really have a choice.
Well, no. The only way I can call people long-distance is through my business calls through the radio station. So whatever the radio station is... Uh-huh. I can't talk to my friends who are far away anymore.
Well, let's find out what our... There's a special number you can dial to find out what your long-distance company is, and...
I got to go and take people to a motel.
This is important, Chris. We'll just take a second you have to find out who our long-distance company is. We've got a chocolate rabbit here, too. Can I have a piece of that?
You don't like it.
Solid chocolate, I might add. Here we go.
Thank you for selecting MCI as your long-distance carrier.
MCI.
Your long-distance service is now connected.
We have MCI. You have to bite it, you can't break it.
Thank you for selecting MCI as your long-distance carrier. Your long-distance service is now connected.
Okay, so we have MCI. We know that. Now, I imagine everybody on campus has MCI, whether they want it or not.
Yeah.
There's really no way to choose your carrier on campus, but...
So am I wasting my time making most of my...
That's the semi-sweet one, isn't it? You gave me the semi... I hate semi-sweet.
Wait, Eric, but wait a minute.
Ugh.
Am I wasting my time...
Hold on, let me just damn thing off. Hold on, hold on.
What?
Sorry, there's a manning busy signal in my ears.
Am I wasting my time waiting until after 5 to call record companies on the West Coast?
No, rates go down after 5 o'clock long
including
distance.
Including on MCI.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Including MCI. For
so
some
I'm
reason, they all...
wasting my time...
They all have the same rate structure.
To save money for the radio station.
Now, let me ask you this, though. What day on the weekend is best to make calls?
Saturday.
That's right. Most people don't know that.
Sunday, the rates are, a lot higher.
Sunday, the rates go back up at 5 o'clock, and they go up to evening rates at 5
what?
O'clock. Yeah, they go. They stay weekend rates up until 5 o'clock.
Are you serious?
Yeah, weekend rates are the same as night. See, nobody
I thought
knows.
It was weekend rates. I mean, it was, what do you call it? Like, just evening rates from 10 until,
No, that's... Okay, New York Telephone has evening rates from 9 to 11. AT&T and all the long-distance companies have evening rates from 5 to 11. Except...
Uh-huh.
On Saturday.
I can call my grandmother during the day.
You can call your grandmother. Where is your grandmother?
Well, say she was visiting Florida or something.
Okay, in Florida, that would be a long-distance call. Anything outside New York is long-distance. So, your best days to call your grandmother would be Saturday and Sunday up until 5.
Okay.
And then after 5 o'clock, it's evening.
What about
rate.
My friend who lives in Manhattan?
Manhattan is New York Telephone. So,
if
you called your friend in Manhattan at 7 o'clock at night, what rate do you think you would have?
No, I want to call her while... I'm at work from a payphone.
Well, payphones, I'm not even going to get into... Well, I am going to get into payphones, but I'm not going to get into payphone rates because I don't know what payphone rates are and when they change. But up until 9 o'clock, it's daytime rates. That's all I'm pointing out here.
Well, I got to go.
Okay, well, I figured I'd just let you know that.
All right.
Thanks for stopping by.
Maybe a note. Unfortunately, they didn't give me an FM radio. I don't feel like going deep in my pockets to get out my Walkman.
Uh-huh.
But,
okay. See ya. All kinds of celebrities always stop in at USB, and that, of course, was our music director, Chris Crowley, who we occasionally treat like a celebrity. Well, the milk chocolate one is out now. Okay. And you overdose on chocolate bunnies. We are, in case you haven't figured it out, talking about phones and long-distance things. Now, today, April 1st, is April Fool's Day, but it was also the day that... that the way you make payphone calls has changed dramatically. It's possible for you to get even more fouled up than you thought it was possible before. So I'm going to take a very quick look here at today's New York Times with a headline of "Some payphones are booby-trapped with high rates." I don't know if people are aware of this, but it is true. Starting today, and this is an article by Calvin Sims. He writes very good articles, by the way, on these things. You should look at them if you haven't already. Starting today, callers across the nation who use a pay telephone for a long-distance call that requires the help of an operator could end up paying a high rate for the call if they did not check the new dialing instructions posted on the phone. That's those little cards that are on the bottom. In case you haven't noticed, they've all been changing in the last couple of weeks. Well, I noticed, but I don't think very many other people did. The government, for the first time, is allowing companies that compete with the American Telephone and Telegraph Company, also known as AT&T, they're allowing those companies to provide long-distance service for operator-assisted calls from Bell payphones in airports, restaurants, hotels, hospitals, on the street, wherever you see payphones. The new dialing instructions give the name of the company serving a particular phone. Now, the AT&T competitors have rates that are not regulated. Some have been known to charge consumers up to 5 times the AT&T rates, and others charge less than AT&T. It depends who you get. Now, operator-assisted calls, keep in mind, these are not for regular pay phone calls. If you put money in, it'll automatically go through AT&T if it's a regular pay phone. If it's not a regular pay phone, a whole different set of rules applies, and it could go through all kinds of different companies. We'll get into that a little bit later. Operator-assisted calls are those made by dialing O plus the long-distance number and using a credit card to pay for the call, or by having an operator place a call, for example, a collector person-to-person call. Okay, none of that makes any sense. I understand why not. You need to hear it for yourself. I'm going to dial an O plus call to... Of course, you can't do it from here. It's stupid of me to even try. We have a corrupt phone system on campus that doesn't allow you to do things in the logical sense. So let's see, I'll have to dial special access code to get over there. And then I'll just do... There. Now, you'll hear what we call a bong, which is a... Also, it's an instrument for smoking, but in this case, it's a symbol to enter your credit card number. Well, why I'm hearing a ringing, and somebody hung up. Okay, it didn't work. I don't know what's going on here. Let's try it one more time. And then we dial that. There we go. Now we enter our calling card number. And the friendly voice says...
Thank you for using AT&T.
That tells you that you've just made a calling card call, and the carrier that you entered your calling card number for has thanked you for selecting them. Sometimes if you have payphones that are configured differently, you'll get a different... company, and usually the best thing to do when you hear a different company is hang up, because they're about to charge you an outrageous amount of money to make that same call. Now, if I was to try to make that same call to, let's say, New York City, okay, you'll get a different message. Same little bong, but a different message. Okay, enter the number.
Thank you for using New York Telephone.
Slightly different. New York Telephone covers the local area up until the city and various parts of New York. AT&T covers the rest of the country, and of course all the other long-distance companies cover the rest of the country. Okay, so now we know what it's like to make an O-plus call. That's what you get when you dial O-plus your long-distance number, and you're supposed to either enter your number, your special code, or tell the operator that code. Now, AT&T is going to continue to handle all long-distance calls from Bell phones that are dialed direct and paid for in cash through the coin box. So if you are one of those few people left that still make regular phone calls long-distance on a pay phone and put money in the phone, well, you don't have anything to worry about. Now, the owner of the property where a pay phone is located can choose the long-distance company to provide service. Many phone companies offer property owners large commissions on the profits from long-distance calls they handle. Yes, many of the smaller companies have only an office for their operators and lease their long-distance lines from major carriers. The nation's seven regional Bell companies, which operate the 1.5 million payphones around the nation, there's a number for you to keep in mind, 1.5 million payphones all around the nation. Those seven regional Bell companies, such as 9X and Southern Bell, Ameritech, Pacific Telesis, all those ones, they've warned callers that they could end up paying very high rates for long-distance calls from payphones unless they check before they call. Now, even with public telephones, consumers must learn to read the label before they use the product, said Robert E. Bellhouse, General Manager for Public Communications at New York Telephone. The label to read is the one just below the push buttons. The bottom of the label gives the name of the carrier serving that phone. And there's a picture of one. It says, long-distance calls outside New York Telephone's calling area. And tells you what company handles them. Zero-plus calls are handled by XYZ Long-Distance Telephone Company. And one-plus calls handled by AT&T Long-Distance. So look for that on the bottom of payphones. That tells you exactly how it works. Now, if the carrier is not AT&T, U.S. Sprint, or MCI, chances are the call will be more expensive than those three carriers charge. Those are the major ones, AT&T, Sprint, and MCI. There are a whole bunch of other carriers, other companies that have sprung up, and they charge outrageous rates. As we said before, up to five times the rates of AT&T, which is incredible. One of them is called National Telephone Service, if you want to visit them. They're in Rockville, Maryland. And there's all kinds of other ones, too. Sometimes they use these bizarre names, like the telephone company. You know, you see a bill on your phone bill, a line that says the telephone company. You assume it's a legitimate charge. So it's a fly-by-night operation. You have to be careful of these things. If the carrier is not AT&T, as we said, U.S. Sprint or MCI, chances are the call will be more expensive. U.S. Sprint is, of course, a partnership of GTE and United Telecommunications. MCI has said they will charge no more than AT&T does. Most of the small carriers say they charge more because they offer special paid telephone services like operators fluent in several languages and a message forwarding service. A word for that, which I cannot utter on the air, but believe me, it's not true. Each carrier must provide rate information. To find out the rate, dial O, the area code, and the number that you plan to call. An operator will provide the rate. If it seems exorbitant, pick another carrier. How do you pick another carrier? Well, that's a very good question. Most people don't know how to do that. And here at Stony Brook, you can't do that. It's been decided for us. Every carrier has a special five-digit code beginning with 10. Now, AT&T is 10ATT, which is 10288. MCI is 10222. Sprint is 10333, etc. I don't know why they have such long codes when there are so few companies that actually use them, but that's just the way it is. So if you wanted to make a long-distance call with another company, you would prefix it with that five digits and then dial either 1 plus or 0 plus, depending on how you wanted to make it. It's getting so you need a master's degree to make a phone call these days. I realize that. What I'm trying to do is help people, and that's why we'll be taking your calls in a little while to see just what kind of questions you have if you're as confused as most people are. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something to be outraged about. I can certainly say that. So, the new dialing instructions tell callers how to reach another carrier. Bell Pay telephones allow the caller access to all carriers, but those other pay phones known as COCOTs, customer-owned, coin-operated telephones, and I'm sure we've all seen one by now. Some of them have these little digital displays. Some of them say, wait until your party answers, then drop the money in. Others look just like New York telephone pay phones, exactly the same. Except they have a little synthesized voice inside them. You know, it says, please deposit $500 for this local call or something like that. Usually you can tell the difference. You can always tell the difference if you look carefully. They have done a pretty good job of making those things look exactly like New York telephone payphones, which in itself is a suspect act because why do they want it to seem just like something they're competing with? You know? It's a logical question. Obviously, they're trying to hoodwink somebody. In most cases, the little insignia in the upper left-hand corner is blue. It says New York Telephone. In other cases, the imitators will be orange or some other color altogether. If it doesn't say New York Telephone clearly on the payphone, then that means it's not a New York Telephone payphone. Makes sense. And unless you're into adventure and excitement when you get your phone bill, it's really a good idea to look for a genuine payphone. They do work better. The main complaint I have with these phones, I use a lot of what we call touch tone services after connecting to a number, like, you know, I want to hear an answering machine or enter an electronic mail system or check my Visa balance or something like that, and you have to hit little touch tones after you connect. Now, a lot of these services, They won't let you use the touch tone pad after you get connected, which is very inconvenient and also very expensive because you already pay for the call to reach that stage to find out that you can't finish it. So, let's see, where were we? Okay, there are a few privately owned payphones, as we've said before, mostly in restaurants and hotels from which callers cannot switch to other carriers. These phones do not have the Bell insignia, but there are plenty of those phones on the street in Queens, for instance. You'll see a lot of the lookalike ones. You can generally tell a phone that is hooked to the wall of an establishment on the outside generally is not a Bell telephone, because they don't put them there. They usually put them in little phone booths or places where phones usually are. Again, though, it's very hard to figure out what's genuine and what isn't. It's becoming increasingly difficult. To switch to another carrier, the caller has to dial the carrier's five-digit access number, as we've said before. The carrier handling service at the payphone is not required to switch a caller to another carrier or provide the caller with the access number of a particular carrier. That means doing some planning, finding carriers with acceptable rates, and carrying their access numbers with you. But it's not very hard to remember 10 and then 3 digits of the carrier that you want. And a lot of times they spell something. 10ITT will connect you to ITT. 10ATT connects you to that. And there's others, too. A caller, for instance, who wanted to use U.S. Sprint from a pay telephone served by another company could switch to the U.S. Sprint network by dialing its access code. Callers can obtain the telephone numbers of the service offices of other long-distance carriers from directory assistance. The service offices will provide access numbers, but directory assistance cannot. So it's a bit of a mess. Yeah. Although most long-distance companies accept credit cards issued by the regional phone companies and by AT&T, they can still charge higher rates than AT&T. So what that means is you have your AT&T calling card in your hand, right? You get connected to another phone company who will accept that AT&T calling card number but charge you a higher rate for it. It's insane. It's crazy. And I for the life of me don't know how they get away with it, but they are able to do that. So they can work it so that you actually are making a phone call and giving your AT&T credit card number to what you think is an AT&T operator, but in actuality, you're giving it to another operator entirely who charges you 5 times the rate of AT&T. It's amazing. Also, many of these carriers will accept major credit cards like Visa or MasterCard, and all those calls will, of course, show up on your local phone bill. Unless you use Visa or MasterCard, then it will show up on those bills. In the past, all long-distance calls from a Bell payphone that required operator assistance were automatically switched to AT&T, but since the 1984 breakup of AT&T's Bell system monopoly, more than 200 companies nationwide, including 19 in New York State, are competing for contracts to handle operator-assisted calls. Competition for payphone service is the latest phase of the court-ordered breakup of the monopoly. The court ruled that competitors should have the same opportunity as AT&T to provide operator-assisted calls from payphones. And in January, New York Telephone and other local phone companies across the nation sent ballots to property owners or renters in their service areas who had Bell payphones on their premises, asking them to choose a long-distance company for their payphones. City governments choose the company to serve payphones on their streets. So the city government will choose what the long-distance company for all the New York payphones on the street will be. New York Telephone said about half the property owners in its area returned the ballots, and about 90% of these chose to stay with AT&T. New York Telephone plans to assign a carrier to property owners who did not select one themselves. That'll be done at random, so you might see some surprises out there for those people that didn't respond to the survey. Mr. Bellhouse said that callers who are not happy with the long-distance rates at a particular payphone should not call their local phone company. Talk to the proprietor who chose the company, he said, if you can track him down. It's something that nobody knows, nobody understands. The New York Times even has a little sideline that says it's too much even for Clark Kent. AT&T will handle long-distance calls from Bell payphones when you dial direct and pay with coins. Operator-assisted calls follow these instructions to get the long-distance company you want. Have with you the access code of a carrier with acceptable rates. AT&T's code is 10288. MCI's is 10222. U.S. Sprint is 10333. And I believe ITT, as I said before, is 10... 1-800-795-4488. And there's AllNet, which is 10444. And if you know of any others, please call in and let me know, because it's not exactly spread around all that much. To make a credit card call or a phone card call, you punch in the access code, followed by 0, the area code, and the number. Wait for the tone and punch in your card number. Just like that. For person-to-person or collect calls, punch in the access code, then 0, and talk to the operator. If you forget the access code, punch 0 and ask the operator what long-distance carrier is assigned to that phone. If it is not the one you want, ask the operator to connect you with an operator for the carrier of your choice. I don't know why they're telling you this, because they won't do that. I can guarantee they won't do that. If the operator cannot do that, okay, ask how much the call will cost. If the amount seems exorbitant, end the call and look for another payphone. Do not give a credit card number or other billing information if you feel you will be overcharged. That's the bottom line. Our line is 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hi, Andrew Goldberger.
Hi, Andrew Goldberger. What's your long-distance company?
I think near a telephone.
Oh, boy. Andrew, have you been listening to us?
Not really. It's kind of... I heard.
New York telephone is not local. Is local. It's not a long-distance company.
Look how smart I am. Look how attentive I was.
Well, you're not smart enough, because you got the question wrong. I'll give you another chance. What is your long-distance phone company?
Okay, it is AT&T.
AT&T, are you sure?
Yes.
How do you know?
Well, it's called long distance.
And? You assume just because you get connected, it's AT&T?
What? No, because once I called France.
Sorry?
And you have to... once I called France.
Uh-huh.
And I needed, what's it called? And the area code, and good. Hello, AT&T, may I help you? And it's also on when you call 411.
Uh-huh.
For information, it says, hello, AT&T, may I help you?
No, 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 no. 411 does not say AT&T. They can't. AT&T doesn't have information.
Yes, it does.
Uh-uh-uh.
It has to.
Andrew, I'm going to put you on temporary hold for a second. Now, folks, to show you that I'm not a fool, listen to this. 411.
Telephone, Stephen.
I'm sorry, did you say AT&T or New York Telephone?
New York Telephone.
That's all I needed to know. Thank you. Are you happy? Are you happy, Andrew?
Oh, God.
Okay.
Well, okay, so now that you publicly humiliated me...
It had to be done. I'm sorry.
You
see, the local companies handle local information. Now, if I was to call, let's say...
555-1212.
Okay, let's do this. Let's go down to Georgia, okay? Here we go. Down to Georgia... Call information down there. See how they answer the phone. If they ever bother to pick up the phone. I don't hear rings like that.
With today?
Hello?
Yes.
What phone company is this?
This is Southern Bell, sir. Directory assistance.
Southern Bell. Okay, thank you. That's all I needed to know. So, as you can see, Andrew. Andrew?
Yeah?
It's the phone company, the local phone company that you connect to that handles information.
Okay.
All right, so information is handled by the local phone company. It's never handled by AT&T. Except maybe...
You know what you can do?
Maybe in the case of 800. I'm not sure about that. I think 800 might be AT&T. But don't fret. There's a way to find out. Whenever in doubt, just pick up the phone and find out. That's what I always say. That's what they're there for. It takes a long time to connect sometimes, though. I don't understand this. Here we go. 800 operators can be kind of nasty sometimes, so...
Joe, may I help you?
Yes, hi. Can you tell me what phone company this is?
Well, who do I work for?
Yes.
AT&T.
Okay, thank you. That's all I needed to know. So, AT&T does handle 800 numbers, but they don't handle local information.
Well, I have a big surprise for you.
Uh-oh. Okay, let's hear it.
My second book.
You're writing another book, Andrew?
I wrote another book.
Okay.
Don't worry, it's only one paragraph.
Only one paragraph. The airwaves are yours. Let me give the phone number, though, for people with questions about their phones and services and things like that. 632-6901. Area code 516. Okay, go right ahead.
Okay. Hello, and welcome to my second book. My second book is about me. I am sitting in a Setauket abandoned playground. It is 23 degrees. I am wearing nothing. My wine is chilling nicely. I want a blanket. I love birds, and birds love me. Is this great? I have resigned as God. I love Charles Dickens. I used to be known as Peter Pan. I still hate Ben Jonson. My favorite food is frozen breadcrumbs. Oh, God. I'm sorry. Go on. Okay, just wait. Ted Bundy is innocent. There are some Satan worshippers here. They are reading this. I am in Alaska, surrounded by leprechauns wearing sombreros and drinking marshmallows liquefied. Morton Downey Jr. didn't sleep with Michael Jackson. This will be my last book. Thank you.
Well, great screaming Jehovah. I'm happy to hear that.
Wasn't that great?
Yes. Okay, so that's the final chapter of your book.
Yes, it is.
The final book. Andrew, I want to thank you for reading us your books over the last couple of weeks. I think it sounded better with a Scottish accent, though. But
oh, yeah, I think so, too.
Okay. Well, look, thanks for calling.
All right.
I'll see you
later.
Bye. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello, Corley.
Hello, who's this?
This is George.
Hello, George.
Hi.
Okay, George, why don't you tell me who your long-distance phone company is, huh?
It's AT&T.
Uh-huh. Any particular reason why?
Excuse me?
Is there any particular reason why it's AT&T?
Yes, we had them for a long time. Everything was great. We were satisfied with the rates, so we kept them.
Uh-huh. Did you choose to keep them, or did you just not respond when you got the little survey in the mail?
Chose to keep them.
Okay, because if you don't respond, they assign you with a company at random, and oftentimes it's not AT&T, so you got to be careful sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, do you have any questions or comments or anything like that?
Well, I saw something that might have interested you. Last night, I don't know if you were watching, there's a thing on NBC called Friday Night Surprise.
Friday Night Surprise. No, I did not see that, but it being Friday night, I guess that was no surprise.
Well, they had a lady on, and they were keeping her identity secret, and, you know, she had big glasses on and everything, couldn't see her face, and then they go, can you identify this recording star? You'll be shocked when you find out her identity, and then everyone was guessing, it was like Dolly Parton and everything, and then it turned out to be the lady that does the recordings for the phone company.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a couple of ladies, but the one that I guess announces when a number has been disconnected.
Yeah, I think that was the one.
What does she look like?
Blonde hair, kind of fluffed up, maybe early 50s, dyed hair, a lot of makeup.
Wow, does she talk that way to please people?
She talks like that all the time. Right?
Really? did she read off a recording or anything?
To give away her identity, they said, can you please recite some of a famous recording you have, and she said, the number you have reached has been disconnected.
Wow. I wonder how it feels to be, associated with that kind of recording. A recording that everybody hears, you know?
They gave a statistic. They said, this lady's recordings are heard approximately 750 billion times a year, something like that.
Wow. That's something.
Yeah, and, I want to discuss this, those payphones that aren't New York Bell phones.
Right. There's a bunch in this area, aren't there?
Yeah. At the 7-Eleven on Pond Path, they have these ones. Gives you five rings and it hangs up.
Which 7-Eleven?
Pond Path.
Well, there's a few on Pond Path. What town?
In Stony Brook.
In Setauket?
Stony Brook, on Pond Path, by the S section over there.
Yeah, that's a talk it actually. But okay, so those aren't New York telephone payphones anymore.
No, they give you five rings and then they hang up on you.
That's awful. Yeah, that some of them do that too. Well, do you deposit your money beforehand or do you wait until the person picks up?
I put it in before.
And they even though they have your money, they won't let it ring more than five times.
Nope. And one time they called Patchogue and it was like just the Patchogue and it was like. It was evening. It was about 10 maybe, and the call cost me like $2.50 something around there.
Uh huh.
That's pretty high.
Tell me something. Do they have phone numbers on them?
Because a lot of times those other payphones, they don't have phone numbers on them, and there's no way to have somebody call you back, which is an important service to have. But other times, if they do have phone numbers on them, and you call them, and you let them ring 20 times, they pick up and they enter a maintenance mode, and you can have the thing tell you how much money is in the coin box, so that you can decide whether or not you want to come by and collect it. That's meant for the person that owns the phone. And you can do other things, too, in the maintenance mode, which is kind of neat.
I'm going to get that number twice.
Yeah, but if the phone number is not on the payphone, it can be really hard to find out what it is. Sometimes what you have to do is actually go to the trouble of calling somebody collect and waiting until they get the phone bill and seeing what number shows up on their phone bill so you know what number it was that you called from, because the operator won't tell you.
And one more thing. Did you hear about that man in, I believe it was Montauk?
No.
Out east with the payphones, he was taking it was either a paperclip or a nail, and this is pretty old, and he'd stick one half of it in the middle hole of the...
In the mouthpiece. It's the oldest trick in the world, yeah.
Yeah, he got caught, and it was estimated that he did that with $10,000. He's getting fined and everything.
How can they estimate how many times he did it? Because so many people are doing that.
Oh, everyone does that.
What do? You stick the paper clip in the middle hole in the mouthpiece, and you ground it, I think, to the side of the phone.
Either that or a little hole under the keypad.
Uh-huh. And then you can make a free local call, or can you make free long distance calls as well?
I think if you keep on doing it, you know the tone it makes when you put the positive quarter. I think it keeps on making that sound.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's it's one of the crudest methods, but it's also one of the most reliable too, as far as creating fraud for the phone company, you know.
And those people out in Queens that sell the calling card numbers.
Yeah, that's something that I've always thought was really a sleazy thing to do, selling calling card numbers. I mean, I don't know how anybody could ever fall for that.
Well, it worked. Those people, they try for hours just dialing calling card numbers to get on the works.
Uh huh. Or they look over your shoulder at an airport or something when you're entering your calling card number. They overhear you telling it to the operator, and they write it down. But you know it's kind of stupid to use calling card numbers if you're going to rip off the phone company, because it always records the number that you're calling from. And some people are silly enough to actually do this from their homes, and they wonder why they get all kinds of summonses in the mail for doing that.
And one more thing, yeah. The people at telephone repair service, is it correct that they don't have the ability to trace a phone call?
Telephone repair does not have the ability to trace, I don't believe.
Because I wasn't really harassing them, but I was intimidating them.
Uh-huh.
Kept on saying, you don't have the power to do such a thing, and he kept on insisting that he did.
Well, the only people that have real power are the operator.
Information
has no power. No, information.
They traced you one time.
Information traced you?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me how?
It just kept on making a series of clicks, and then I hung up, because I knew that's what it sounds like when they trace a call.
Well, let me tell you one thing. When your call is being traced, the methods are sophisticated enough so you don't hear any clicks. When you're being tapped, you don't hear any clicks. People think when you hear all these clicks on your line, you're being tapped. No, when you're being tapped, you don't hear it. It's the technology is sophisticated enough so you don't have to hear it. Unless the information that I am privy to is completely wrong, I don't believe information has any kind of tracing abilities. 911 and the operator, those are really the only two that you have to worry about. And also, an increasing number of 800 numbers, believe it or not, have tracing capabilities.
Yeah.
The more sophisticated ones, the 800 numbers owned by MCI, for instance, they have tracing capabilities. Also, the 950 exchange, which is used by long-distance companies to make calling card calls through, they have tracing capabilities as well. So, yes, there are some, but for the most part, the technology is still very young.
Well, I don't recommend this, but a friend of mine, he played a cool joke on information. He said he wanted the number for the suicide hotline, and then he found out it wasn't an 800 number, so he started acting like he was very upset and everything, and then he hung up, and as soon as he hung up, there was information calling back.
Really?
And they were going to place a call for free and everything.
How long was he on the phone for?
A minute at the most.
I don't know. Are you sure he didn't call the operator first? Because the operator can do that.
No, information can. 411 and 555-1212 can both do it.
Well, from what I've understood, they don't even have the ability to make phone calls. So if that's something that's changed, I'd like to find out more about it.
Okay.
There's one other thing you might be interested in. That's this service they're introducing in New Jersey and also in parts of New York now. It's called Class Service.
Oh, yeah.
You familiar with that?
I read about that in the phone book.
That's where the person you call will know the phone number of the person calling them.
You can block it out and everything.
You can block it out, but then again, you have to trust that they are blocking it out, you see. So the technology is rapidly approaching that will be able to tell you who is calling you, what phone number they're calling from. Of course, this is all only local. You know, it won't work across the country or even across the state. But it does, you know, like the suicide hotline example. Do you want your phone number to be given out to the suicide hotline when you call them? And will you call the suicide hotline if you think your number is going to be displayed on their screen?
It's all done from payphone anyway, always correct. But
yeah, but payphones can be traced too, you know, and the location can be disclosed. So that's something that's going to have big implications in the years ahead because that service will be available in many places.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people on your campus have been stealing the information cards. I know it at the administration building. I was there about a couple of weeks ago, and all the cards were stolen.
What cards are these?
The white plastic sheets under the keypad and above the receiver, where it tells you the information how to place the call.
Oh, you mean on payphones? It's possible they might have been in the process of being replaced because there are new ones now that have the new dialing instructions.
Oh, well, maybe that was it. But
yeah, they do get taken quite a bit. I'm aware of that.
Yeah, I have an extensive collection. Okay.
Well, I wouldn't go around bragging about it too much. Anyway, thanks for your call.
Okay, no problem.
632-6901. We're talking about payphone technology and call tracing and all kinds of things like that. Before we go to the next call, I want to show you something. This is something that I'd like everybody to sort of share and maybe help me out a little bit here, okay? It's a mystery number. A mystery number. I have no idea what it's supposed to be doing. I'd like any kind of information or advice, okay? What you're going to hear is a computer, a real computer. And I'll tell you what I'm doing as I do it. Again, it takes a while to connect.
Welcome to the new station technology system. Please key in the 10-digit telephone number.
All right, I'm going to key in this phone number here.
The number you entered is 516-632-6901. Please enter an asterisk if this number is correct.
Okay, I'm going to enter an asterisk because it is correct.
Please key in your 3-digit employee number.
3-digit employee number. Okay. Any guesses? 123.
The number you entered is 123. Please enter an asterisk if this number is correct.
I will enter an asterisk because I don't know if it's not correct.
Thank you, Dave. Please wait for verification procedure to complete.
Thank you, Dave.
Do not hang up until you are instructed to. Thank you, Dave. Please hang up now.
Thank you, Dave. Boy, I wasn't expecting that. Okay, now let me try the same thing, except I'll enter 124 instead of 123 and see what I get then. That's very weird. So this computer actually knows your name or the name of the person it thinks you are? And I also don't know what it is I just did to this phone number because it asked me to enter the number and do something with it. Takes a long time to connect. I don't know why.
Welcome to the new station technology system. Please key in the 10-digit telephone number. number you entered is 516-632-6901. Please enter an asterisk if this number is correct. Please key in your three-digit employee number.
Okay, it's going to be 124 this time.
The number you entered is 124. Please enter an asterisk if this number is correct.
It is correct.
Thank you, sir. Please wait for verification procedure to complete.
Thank you, sir.
Do not hang up until you are instructed to. This auditor is not scheduled for replacement. The installation was not successful. Please hang up and try again.
It's not scheduled for replacement. The installation was not successful. Sounds pretty scary to me. Well, anyway, if anyone has any suggestions as to what to try on that one, I'd appreciate it. I thought my problem was going to be finding a three-digit employee code, but I guess that's easy. You know, there must be a lot of employees. But I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what it is, you know. And somebody give me a hand here. These computers are everywhere, you see. Wherever you look, they're talking to you. You know, they're asking you to input numbers and do this and do that. You know? Here. I've got one other one for you. Hopefully it's a computer and not a human. I hate it when humans answer.
Thanks for calling Rainbow Bank. You need answers on a wide range of products and services. Please call us. Our hours are 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through.
Well, that's a machine. Okay, that apparently that's not picking up with the computer at this time. Computers only work during business hours sometimes. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Hello? Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello?
Yes.
If you're placing an international call, what is the best, is it better if you just dial direct?
Usually, if you have the ability to dial direct, that's probably the best way to do it. Depends on your long-distance company again. Do you know what your long-distance company is?
AT&T.
It is AT&T. Then you can pretty much call any place that is directly dialable. By dialing 011, followed by the country code, the city code, and whatever else follows.
So that's talking about 8 extra digits you have to dial?
It depends. You know, every country is different. You know, like England, you would dial 011, followed by 44, which is the country code for England. Then you dial the city code. If you wanted London, it would be 1. And then the phone number, which in that case, I believe, is about 7 digits. But if you were calling, say, Rome, okay, you dial 011 followed by 39, which is Italy, followed by Rome, which is 1, and then the phone number can be 4 digits, it can be 6 digits, it can be 7, you know, it depends.
And is it better to call at a certain time?
Yeah, except with overseas, the times are wildly different. Can you hold on a second? I'll give you an example. Okay. We'll connect to an operator here, and we'll ask her for the cheapest rate to call. Pick a country. Burma. Okay, beautiful. Beautiful.
Here at Telephone, this is Paradise. What area code are you calling to?
Actually, I'm trying to get AT&T.
Well, what area code, sir?
Well, I need rate information for overseas.
Thank you. One moment.
Thank you.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
AT&T, how may I help you?
Yes, operator, can you tell me the cheapest time of day to call Burma?
Sure. Where are you going to be calling from?
From
this phone?
Not from this phone, but from this area.
All right, from a private home phone? This is not a private home
right.
phone.
Right. Yeah, I realize that. Yeah, it would be from a private home phone.
Hold on. And that was Burma?
Yes, it was Burma. Rangoon. Place I always like to go. I'm not kidding. I would like to go to Rangoon. I have these Rangoonians calling. It's true. You know, nothing against the place.
All right, after 11? All right, I'd have to give you another. Oh, I'm sorry. It's $11 and... My computer indicates that it's $11.83 for the first 3 minutes, no matter when.
Mercy me. So you're saying there's no discount rate at all?
I don't know. It doesn't sound logical. So let me just give it to another operator and you can ask her, okay?
Thank you very much.
I think that operator has summed it up. It does not sound logical, and that's what our caller is asking about. There is no logic involved when you're dialing overseas. What's true for Burma is not true for... Hello?
Hold on, we have to give you...
Oh. I thought they answered.
AT&T, ISD.
Yes, operator, we're calling from 516-632-6000. It's a restricted billing, operator, credit card. Thank you. You're welcome. What country?
I'm trying to find out rate information for Burma. I need to know when the discount period is.
When? The cheapest time is between
11 p.m.
and
10 a.m. Between 11 p.m. and
10 a.m.? Right.
Okay, and I also need the same information for Italy, please.
One minute. Cheapest time is between 6 p.m. and 7 a.m.
Between 6 p.m. and 7 a.m. That's every day?
Right.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Sir, are you still there?
Yeah, I can't believe you just did this.
Yeah, well, it's all completely free, too, to find that kind of thing.
I believe you said Burma, because I just came back from Burma last week.
You came back from Burma last week?
Yeah.
You must tell me about it. What's it like?
Well, it's a complete military government.
It's a military government?
I mean, there's a 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. curfew. People who miss curfew are shot. And it was very intense being there.
Tell me something. Why did you go to Burma?
Because I was in Thailand.
Uh-huh.
And I always wanted to go there, so it's a very interesting culture.
What cities did you go to over there? Did you go to Rangoon?
Yeah, Yangon, Pagan, and Mandalay.
Uh-huh. How does it...
The people there are the friendliest people I've ever met in my life.
Well, you know, I think that's true just about anywhere in the world. No matter where you go, people are really friendly. I've noticed that. except maybe parts of the city, but
yeah.
Other than that...
Oh, but this is really a genuine friendliness.
Uh-huh. What, you say it's a military dictatorship.
It's very, I saw people, I was there the day of the big demonstration.
Uh-huh.
It was the year anniversary of the death of a student that set off all the human rights demonstrations. And I saw people being taken from their houses. Opposition leaders were being rounded up the night before. Because I was walking the street in Rangoon at night, and all these people were telling me, come tomorrow, you'll see tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And people were yelling things off the back of buses, and you could just feel in the air that something was heavy was about to happen.
And what happened the next day?
It was suppressed.
How did they suppress it?
Well, they rounded up a lot of the people that were opposition leaders.
So they took all the leaders out of their houses. So what wound up happening the next day?
It was a very, people, there was a gathering at the technical university. But,
uh-huh. Was there a large police presence?
The military, there was tanks going through the city, a lot of just military all over the place.
Uh-huh. Were your movements restricted over there?
Yeah.
How so? What do they make you do?
Well, there's a curfew.
What time?
10 p.m. to 4 a.m.
I see. And that curfew applies to everybody?
Yep.
How big a country is Burma?
Size-wise?
Size,
I think it's
yeah.
About the size of Texas, maybe.
I see. And it borders on Thailand?
Yeah, and India.
How would you compare Thailand with Burma?
Well, Burma's so poor.
Uh-huh.
And Thailand is, there's a big middle class coming in.
Uh-huh.
Distance.
Have you ever heard of a country called Bhutan? It's kind of near India, Nepal,
uh-huh.
In that vicinity. And Bhutan is a very unusual country because they have very, well, in my opinion, they're unusual because they have very few phones. Most of their communication is done by messenger, which I think is very unique.
And it's not Federal Express either. It's, you know, horseback type thing. So, do you travel around a lot?
When I get a chance.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. It's good to, you know, to visit these places. I don't know of many people that would visit Burma, you know.
Well, you should go someday.
Yeah, well, I'd like to. I definitely would. Let me ask one other question. Do they have any radio or television over there to speak of?
It's 2 hours a day.
2 hours a day. I assume that's just television. Do they have radio as well?
Yeah, that's what. It's all government, though.
Is it? Yeah. Okay, well, it's been fascinating taking this this look at Burmese culture. Thanks. Let me ask you one more thing.
It's really funny that you said that, because that's a very big coincidence.
Yeah, it is. It certainly is.
I think you were reading, picking up something.
Well, I do pick up things over the phone, that's for sure. let me just ask one thing. You're walking through the streets of Rangoon, right?
Yeah.
Can you remember the name of, say, a store or a business or something that would be listed in the phone book?
Let me see. There's a lot of Japanese companies.
Just one name. That's all I need.
I'm trying to think. It would be a Japanese company. I'm sure it would be.
So they have a lot of Japanese companies. Let's see. What could they have over there? Panasonic, maybe?
Yeah, that's a good bet.
Okay, so you think there's a Panasonic in Rangoon?
Yeah.
Okay. We will call the Burmese operator.
What time did you say is the best time to call?
They said it was between, I believe, 11 p.m. and 8 a.m. It's kind of similar to our own discount period.
11 p.m. New York time?
Yeah, New York time. Now, other countries are completely different. Italy was 6 p.m. to 7 a.m., so it's all different times depending on the country.
And it's much cheaper if you dial direct?
It should be, yes. Yes, it definitely should be. I'm not sure if Burma can, if you can call Burma direct. Do you know if you can?
All they need is the country code.
Yeah, well, it depends. Sometimes that's not enough if the country
doesn't. They have one of the worst phone systems in the world, probably.
I'm not surprised.
And it's like $42 to call here from that.
it's like one of those payphones that we were talking about before, except they have a whole country full of them.
Right. And about the prose that was read over the air before?
Yes.
Now I understand what it's so much child abuse.
Yeah, it's something, isn't it?
What was it? I've been captured. He was naked in a park and drinking wine?
No, his wine was being chilled, I believe. It's kind of like rambling speech, you know. It's something that we're trying to do something
about.
How
old is this person?
I believe 13. Yeah, it's something. But he did say it was the last one. He did say, but of course that means next week we'll probably get a poem or something like that. What?
This is autobiographical?
I believe it's based on an autobiography, but it's not necessarily true. That's the best I can do, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling. Of course, he was referring, for those new people listening, to Andrew Goldberger's book, which was excerpted about half an hour ago or so. Okay, we're going to get back to the phones in a minute, 632-6901. But right now, let's go to Burma. Well, before we go to Burma, something that's been gnawing at me, I'm going to ask this operator, probably annoy her, but...
Your telephone, this is Mimi, may I help you?
Yes, hi. Operator, I have a question. When I ask to be connected to AT&T, I always get connected to AT&T, but if I ask to be connected to MCI, you can't connect me to them. Why is that?
Because they're not... wait a minute. They're not our company. We don't have numbers for them.
But I thought there was no connection between AT&T and New York Telephone anymore.
Well, no, but there's more of a relationship there than there is with these new companies, I would imagine.
Uh-huh. So there is like a lasting bond or something like that?
Oh, I guess that's what you could call it.
Okay.
These new companies, we don't, you know, we don't have any information on them. We don't know anything about them.
Uh-huh.
The only thing I can suggest is that you, were you making a local call?
Well, actually, I was just curious about that. I was just calling to find out about that. Do you think they will someday be able to connect them?
We were hoping we were, but the change, they keep changing their ideas. I don't know. I'm so confused about this thing. I don't know why you had to get me.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Because at one time we were going to connect you, and then all of a sudden we're not connecting you.
Yeah, they changed their minds, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
But as far as you know, you'll always be able to connect me to AT&T, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Well, in that case, could you connect me to AT&T?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Please.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
I imagine that from the generic tone of that recording that one day they will be able to connect you to another.
AT&T, may I help you?
Yes, hi. I need overseas information, please, for Rangoon in Burma. Listen to the busy activity in the AT&T office.
Can I help you?
Yes, ma'am. My parts is calling from 516-632-6000, and it's from a screen code 97, so they cannot bill it to a third number. They can only bill it to a credit card.
Screen code 97. Write that down.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Can I help you?
Yes, hello. I need overseas information, please, for Rangoon, which is in Burma.
Are you placing the call now or just looking
for... I'm just looking for the number right now.
Okay, we don't do that any longer, sir. We only get information when you're ready to place the call.
Is that true of all countries?
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. So how would I go about doing this?
When you're ready to make the call, you call us back, we'll get the number and put it through all at the same time.
Uh-huh. But I can't make the call directly from here, can I?
No.
So what is it I have to give you?
When you want to place a call, you call us, give us a name and address, we go through information, obtain a number, and complete the call at the same time.
Right, but since you can't complete the call for me, how do I go about... I mean, if I was to give you the name and address now, would you be able to do that?
I could try it for you, yes.
Okay, well, I'm looking for the number for Panasonic Corporation in Rangoon, Burma.
And you are going to put the call through now?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know what time it is over there.
It's almost 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
Okay, yeah, I don't believe they're a Christian nation, so I don't think that'll be a problem. Listeners, if they are a Christian nation, please,
I'm sorry.
And
how are you billing it?
Now, can I bill it to this number?
No.
I can't. Let's see. Okay, how about to 632-6901? I know this is
only
not going to work.
Only a credit card, sir. Or collect, and collect is not accepted in Burma.
Collect is not accepted in Burma.
It has to be a credit card.
Uh-huh. So there's no way I can make this call unless I have a credit card, is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay, then I guess I can't do it right now. Okay, thanks anyway.
You're welcome.
Have a nice night. Now, folks, a lesson to be learned here. When someone tells you you can't do something in the phone company, always try again, right away. Because you'll never get the same person twice, and different people have different ways of dealing with things like this. I don't think that's their policy. I really don't.
Can I help you?
Yes, can I have AT&T, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
One moment for an operator who can assist you. Thank you.
If that's true, it's going to put me right out of business, because I love calling overseas operators.
AT&T, Lloyd, can I help you?
Yes, hi. I need overseas information, please, for Burma. That's B-U-R-M-A.
Moment.
Thank you. I'm afraid I might have caused that problem by calling information so many times and not pressing the call.
Hello, operator. I have a customer calling from a screen code 97.
Again.
And the number is 516-632-6000.
Okay, thank you.
Hello?
Country you're calling?
I'm trying to reach overseas information, please, in Rangoon, Burma. And I'll be placing the call later on from my home. Did he buy it? Did he buy it? Hook, line, and sinker?
We're trying information now.
Oh, there is a God.
Your call did not go through. Please try your call again.
He dialed
try right. Again, sir.
He made a mistake because that's why he got that recording.
Your call did not go through. Please try your call again. 412-1...
It's going to Pittsburgh, 412. Why is that?
Your call did not go through. Please try...
I'll try it one more time, sir.
Okay, appreciate it.
Your call did not go through. Please try your call.
I'm sorry, but their circuits are busy right now, so can you please try later?
Yes, can you tell me, is there a better time to call Burma?
No, sir, there actually isn't.
Do you know if it's always like this?
Yes, it usually is. It's rough to get into.
I see. Okay, well, I guess I'll just keep trying then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, and if nothing else, folks, that demonstrates that you should never believe anything anybody tells you, because usually it's just because they don't want to do it for you, not necessarily because it's the rule. To the people that were looking forward to the number in of Panasonic in Rangoon, I'm sorry. There's really nothing I can do about that. 632-6901 is our phone number. We're still looking for more information on that weird number we found, which I can't give out over the air for legal reasons. Harassing a computer, which is worse than harassing a person, but I can play it for you again. Brother Bill.
Yes, sir.
Give me a three-digit number.
129.
129, okay. We'll try that next.
Welcome to the new station technology system. Please key in the 10-digit telephone number.
Okay, we're going to enter all zeros and see what happens.
The number you entered is 000000000. Please enter an asterisk if this number is correct.
It's correct with me if it's correct with you.
Please key in your 3-digit employee number.
Okay, that's 129.
The number you entered is 129. Please enter an asterisk if this number is correct.
It's correct.
Thank you, sir. Please wait for verification procedure to complete. Do not hang up until you are instructed to. Thank you, sir. Please hang up now.
Well, I can tell you this is a very stupid system. It doesn't know that that's a fake phone number. I don't know what it is. I don't have the ability to translate those touch tones in my ear, so I don't know what it is that it's dialing. If someone out there knows, feel free to enlighten me, or if they have anything I should try to figure out what this whole thing is. And if we find an answer, of course, we will bring it to you here on Brain Damage. You're listening to Brain Damage, WUSB in Stony Brook. It's 11:31, 29 minutes to 12. Eric Corley with you up until midnight, at which time the brothers take over. 632-6901 is our phone number. We're talking about changing technology with phones and things like that. I've got a bit of news to read, but first we're going to go to back to the phones. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
AT&T sucks.
Well, good thing you didn't get that one out. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Hello? I always think that maybe somebody's there and they think the phone's not going to be answered, so they go away, saying, surely he won't pick up while I go away, and so I'll just give them a few seconds more. Sir, if you can hear me, and maybe I can't hear you, or ma'am, hit a touch tone now. If you don't have a touch tone phone, dial a number on your rotary phone now. Well, I think we've concluded that there is nobody on this line, period, nor has there ever been. Okay. I am now releasing, sir. They're gone. Good evening. You're on brain damage.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. What's your name, by the way?
Sorry?
What's your name, by the way?
My name is Eric. My name is Eric.
Eric? Hey, Eric. Okay. My name's Steve.
Hi.
I was wondering, well, with the international numbers that you were trying to do before, would that just be free, just like regular information?
Which international numbers?
You were trying the international information.
International information is still free, yes.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you were able to get through, like you were trying.
Well, you see, the countries like Burma, it's kind of tough, but to other countries, it can be pretty simple.
Yeah, because I remember a friend of mine used to tell me he used to call and talk, you know, to all these different people and all that. And I was always curious. Oh, and another thing, you know, those screwy little phones that the kid was telling about at the 7-Elevens. They also have the same phones at the YMCA on 34th Street,
uh-huh.
International YMCA. So these people are stuck. You know, they're coming from wherever country they are, and they cannot call out to their international numbers.
Well, you think that's bad. People right here at Stony Brook, international students who live in the dormitories, can't call their home countries if their home countries aren't directly dialable because it's impossible to get an operator directly who will place the call without accepting a credit card. And if you're a foreign student here on campus, it's quite likely you don't have a credit card.
Right.
So it's yeah, there's unfair situations like that abounding all over the place.
Yeah, I can't understand. Like, it, apparently what's going down is people, whoever, like I guess, they're renting. Because what I asked, because I was trying to reach, you know, people that I knew and when I was living out there. And they apparently rent the phones. You know, it's like, it's not so much, I guess, a public service or something. Then when you try and, you know, confront them saying, well, you know, why is this? They're like, well, we're not responsible for these phones, this and that. So you're like, well, wondering, who is responsible? What's
well,
going
if,
on?
I'll tell you this. If it's not a New York Telephone payphone, the establishment that it is in or attached to is responsible for it.
Yeah.
Because they're making... They're making a profit off it being there.
Somehow they make the money. And those phones are really loud. I mean, they can hardly place, I mean, local calls, really.
Right. You know, when I first saw those phones being installed, I said, great, some competition. We'll actually see the cost of a pay phone call be competitive, go down a little bit.
Yeah.
Not one time have I seen that happen. It's always been more expensive on these other phones. I wish it were competitive, you know. Then it would be worthwhile.
Yeah, but theoretically, or if it were to become competitive, I don't know how a person would be able to keep track. Like, you'd then have to find out, like, let's say just calling, I live in Stony Brook or whatever, and if I'm calling from Smith Haven Mall, I mean, I'm sure you know where this is, you know, Lake Grove, it's going to cost me, I forget how much, like 75 cents or 60 cents, something like that.
It costs 40 cents from between those two zones, yeah.
From just, what is it, like 2 minutes away, you know, from like from Lowe's or something like that.
Right, well, there's a border. You've got the Smithtown Brookhaven border.
It's the weirdest system. I don't understand. Like, apparently it's all set up into zones or something.
Right, that's set up into zones. Now, with the new pay phones, they're more sophisticated inside. All the billing information is inside the actual phone. And sometimes you'll find holes in there. Sometimes you'll find that they're not programmed correctly and you can actually benefit, but it's only a mistake. A call to California might cost you 25 cents because the phone's been programmed incorrectly. With the other pay phones, they're actually very simple, and it's the central office where all the phone lines come in that's telling it what to bill.
Oh, but if you try calling on those phones, it's a different, I forget the name of the system. Maybe, is there a company, ITT or something like that?
ITT does have some of those customer-owned phones, I know that.
Yeah, I think they might be the ones that, they forget it. You could ask them to, like, even get, like, AT&T or something like that. You're like, well, can you hook me into, you know, the other lines? And they're like, sorry, you can't. You got to use an AT&T phone. So, I mean, they're even limited as to the capabilities. It's
uh-huh.
the worst system ever.
Well, according to a new ruling which was issued about a month ago, all these phones have to allow you the ability to get the other system. They don't have to connect you themselves, but they have to make it clear how it's done, and the customer should be able to do that.
Yeah. so I guess that's making it clear enough, telling you, well, hang up and use another phone somewhere else.
That's not the method that they should be telling you to do. That was true up until recently, but they should be able to tell you how to connect to an operator. They can't block other phone companies out. That's unfair.
Yeah, well, the last time I was trying that, though, was someone's back. So actually, maybe, hopefully, it's been different, because it is a shame to have that. I mean, I'm just thinking about, like I was saying, about all the international people.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. Is there any country you want information for?
not really. I pretty much have their numbers, you know, if I ever wanted to call them.
Yeah. It's fun when you try a country that's supposedly hard to reach, but lots of times you just get that same recording that we got for Burma. I guess a lot of people are calling Burma right now, or maybe they only have four lines or something. You know, it's not inconceivable.
Well, before they were saying Screen Code 97.
Yeah, well, that's something we learned tonight. Screen Code 97 is a phone that cannot place any calls except credit card calls. That's how, if you get connected to an operator anywhere on the campus here at Stony Brook, you come up as a Code 97. You're not allowed to speak to an operator directly because these aren't real phone lines that we have. They're not real New York Telephone phone lines.
Odd numbers. I've been on campus. I think you have like a three or four-digit code or something like that. I guess you have a separate phone system within the campus?
We have a separate phone system within the campus. It's run by Rome. And every time you make an outside call, you have to enter a five-digit code from the dormitories anyway. It's kind of crazy. It can be fun, but it's kind of crazy too.
How are you managing to do all that? I mean, that was information. I was going to ask you, since apparently you can't place these calls, I was going to ask you how you were placing the calls.
Well, if you notice, I didn't place the calls. I only got connected to information.
Right. And you were saying that you were going to place it later from
right. Now, if I was, you know, I was very suspicious of that rule that they would only connect you to information if you were about to place the call, and that would, of course, make it impossible for me to make a call to information over the airwaves, because I'd have to give my credit card number out over the airwaves, and
yeah.
I don't generally like to do that.
Yeah.
Of course, I trust all the listeners.
One of these days I'll try the information, just because it would be cool. I mean, I'm planning to go out to
Sir, do you know who your long-distance phone company is?
Actually, I guess not.
You don't, see? That can be dangerous. It can be dangerous not to know who your long-distance company is, because you might be connected to somebody you don't want to be connected to. It might cause problems when you're trying to call somewhere that they don't call, you know?
Yeah, because actually it depends on just whoever, my family ended up choosing. And
right.
I don't know. I mean, it's so weird how you try to keep track of all this stuff. I'm sure that there are little, ins and outs as to like pricing and all that. They'll say they'll give the benefit this way or that way, but it's probably the same all around, basically.
Well, I'll tell you how to find out, okay? You got a pen?
What? Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, it's a special toll-free number you can call that will tell you instantly what company that it is you're signed up with.
Okay.
That is area code 700. All right?
Right.
555.
555.
4141. If you dial that number...
554141 is information, isn't it?
Well, 555-1212 is information,
oh,
usually.
1212, right.
But in this case, the 700 area code is a weird one. This number is toll-free. It'll play a recording for you saying what phone company it is that you've selected.
It must be a computer 800 number, I guess. I mean, it's like totally...
Well, it's a 700 number. It's not an 800 number, but it is toll-free.
There was also, like, a lot of other numbers. That's the other thing I was thinking of. Like, all these different things. They're just, like, little curiosities that are going on. These information and supply numbers and all that, like, a lot of the companies now, like you were trying to get Panasonic or whatever, will have service numbers, which will be, at times, toll-free and all, and you could patch in to get information about services or products or whatever. I forget... Well, I've had a telecommunications classes,
there's all kinds of
what the number was.
There's all kinds of things you can hook into now that will give you all kinds of recordings and menus.
Is there a general information number that can give you, so to speak, it was like a category. like with computer programs where it'll send up a menu and you just like choose something. That is there sort of like a number, an 800 number or something like that that can do the same thing?
That's true. Well, okay, pick a huge corporation, all right, off the top of your head.
IBM.
IBM. Okay. We will call IBM's main number and see if they connect us to a machine like that. They just very well might.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Now, what do you mean you're calling that main number now? Like, where are you getting your numbers from?
Where am I getting what numbers
from? Just from the phone book.
Which numbers are you talking about?
Well, are you calling a computer number? When you just said I'm going to call IBM.
Well, I'm going to call information, get the phone number for IBM.
Uh-huh.
Call IBM and see if they give us one of those things you just described.
Yeah.
That will give us a list of menus to go through, because I'm sure I won't get a person picking up the phone at 11:43 on Saturday night cheerily saying, IBM, can I help you? You know.
Well, actually, then basically, if you find some sort of like information number or whatever, you kind of it's not like there's a number like I was asking, like just a general number that can tell you. You know, if you want information for this or that or whatever, you got to like kind of search it out, like what you're going to do right now.
Well, I'll give it a shot.
Okay, cool.
Thanks for calling. Where are you calling from, sir?
Strandberg.
Okay, well, check out that 700 number. Find out what your long-distance company is, and if it's not the one you want, change it.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
Okay. I say that because I was a victim, believe it or not, of the same thing. You know, I didn't select a certain company, but they went and selected me, and before I knew it, I was signed up with MCI. Yes, I'll say the name over the airways because they did it. They selected me on two different phone lines, and they were very sneaky about the whole thing. I called that 700 number, and the lady thanked me for using MCI, and I didn't want to use MCI. So I called up my business office and went back to the carrier of my choice, which I won't say over the air. Now, we will give a call to 800 information, find out what the number for IBM is, and see if they connect us to one of those weird computer things. I hear crosstalk.
He may help you?
Yes, operator, I need the number for IBM, please.
The toll-free number is 800-426-3333. Repeat, 800-426-3333. If you have further questions, a directory assistance operator will return.
No further questions. Thank you very much. Let's give a call to that number and see if we get a computer or a human being. What do you think, computer or human being? Or no answer. There's always that possibility, too. Yeah, I never thought of no answer. I guess that makes a lot of sense. Okay, well, IBM is not home, so let's just chuck that idea right out the window. 632-6901 is our telephone number. Taking your calls, asking questions about phones and high-tech and things like that. Let's see who we have. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Raphael.
Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Hi, talking about phones tonight,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. What's your long-distance company, sir?
I have no idea.
Ah.
I guess it's AT&T. That's where the rest of the phone bill comes from.
Well, that's not necessarily true, because if you look at your phone bill carefully, now there's different pages for different companies, and sometimes some companies send you bills separately, so you might get caught completely off guard.
Right.
Did you catch that 700 number we gave out before?
No.
Okay, it's 700-555-4141. It's a toll-free number that will tell you what your long-distance company is.
Right, okay. I guess it is. I never noticed anything amiss, because I have made some long-distance calls, you know, like West Germany and Ireland.
Well, most of the companies now connect you.
Yes.
Yeah, so you won't notice a difference, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying that AT&T is necessarily the one that you want. You might want, you know, a different company, so you should know what you have.
Right. Well, you know, I wanted to know if you knew anything about, is there any way you could have your phone number listed so that these people who call you and want to sell you things don't call you?
Well, you see, to have an unlisted phone number costs money, which I think is very unfair.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, I can't think of any other aspect of society where you have to pay not to be seen. It's kind of weird.
That's true. I'm sure all it is somebody punches in your number and it takes about 2 seconds.
Right. Well, it's like charging you for touch tones. Believe me, there is no service provided to charge you for touch tones. There is no machine that activates your touch tones. All there is just something that turns it off, tells you to ignore it if you don't pay for it. As far as being unlisted, you can avoid that by simply listing it under a different name. Now, I like to list phones under funny names so that when the person calls and tries to pronounce your name, they stumble all over themselves, and maybe they'll, you know, skip the name or something because they don't know how to pronounce it. That's one method. Being unlisted doesn't save you anymore from getting calls from these people because...
I'm sure they have their methods, you know.
Your phone number is floating around all over the place, whether it's from, people at Visa, if they give their phone, the phone numbers of their customers to other companies, who knows? So,
I really hate that. You know?
Yeah, but it happens all the time.
All the time, you know. I mean, all kinds of things. It's
There's
really annoying.
Less and less privacy every day in this society. So the best defense is just to be prepared and to know what is possible and what isn't.
All right. I don't know. So, you were talking about phone taps before?
Yeah.
That's not easy to, like, legally do, is it? Like, get a prison?
No, it's not easy to legally do, but most phone taps are not legally done. You know, most of them are done by people spying on you who aren't necessarily working for the government, corporate spies, that kind of thing. And, when the government does it, obviously they don't have to tell you they're doing it. So, you never know when you're being tapped or when you're not. There are relatively few taps. But if you believe you're being tapped, the best way to find out for sure is to say something so outrageous that they just can't resist doing something about it.
Yeah.
And then you find out for sure. You might have to do a lot of explaining before a judge somewhere, but if you're into thrill and excitement, it might be worth it.
Yeah. So Burma, huh? You were calling Burma.
We tried to call Burma, but it didn't work. All their circuits are tied up.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Yeah, these things happen.
$11, right?
$11 for the first 3 minutes to make a phone call, yes.
Why were you late today?
Why was I late? It's a long story, but basically... It's a long story. Maybe some other time I'll get into it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about you?
Okay, why don't we talk... What is this, a computer?
No.
It sounds like one of those computer psychologists. We were talking about me, not you. Go ahead.
I'm from the government this time.
Okay, you're from the government this time. Go ahead. Whose side are you on?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay, that would be telling. Go ahead.
I'm not sure yet. What do you do, in your spare time when you're not on the radio?
Well, this is my spare time, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought, but, what do you do full time?
Well, we don't give out too much personal information about ourselves, but let's just say this. I'm a freelancer.
There is.
I'm a freelance writer type person. How's that?
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Write for any famous publications?
Well, yes. In fact, I do. I work for a magazine that does this kind of thing, talks about telephones and communications and stuff like that. I have a feeling you already know that.
I thought you knew a lot about it.
I've just developed, you don't take courses in this kind of thing. This is hands-on experience. You have to learn by doing.
Indeed.
And that's what I suggest to people. You pick up the phone and you figure out what is going on because nobody is going to tell you.
Yeah.
Except maybe me on the radio, but I can't do everything. I can't cover all bases. There's so much to learn out there. And, people will say, oh, you're not supposed to know about this. You're not supposed to play with this. It doesn't belong to you. That's nonsense. It's all there. You have to know what's going on. You have to know what's being stored and what computers are capable of doing, all that kind of thing.
All right.
Okay?
You are.
Any other questions, sir?
I'll think of one.
This week or next week?
I don't know. What else do you write about?
Whatever comes into my head.
Anything? Political subjects?
Occasionally, but they're not as interesting as the human ones, you know?
I don't.
think they never should have broke up AT&T.
Well, a lot of people say that, you know, but...
looks like they let all these pirates in on it, you know, as soon as that was broken up.
Yeah, well, maybe this is a natural, you know, a natural form of evolution or something. Look at the way it was. AT&T owned your telephone. AT&T owned the wire going from your telephone to the telephone pole. AT&T owned the telephone pole. They owned the central office where all the switching was done. They owned the long-distance network which connected you to the rest of the world and everything on the other side. So that seems kind of unfair. Now you have all these choices to make. Maybe after the initial shock, it'll start working out.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like, you know, it's all pretty much the same, isn't it? I mean, you tell me, you know what you're talking
well,
about.
Well, it's not the same. I mean, yeah.
I mean, how's AT&T compared to, you know, its next biggest competitors?
Well, I'll tell you, there are some differences. The, you know, the companies like Sprint and MCI have newer technology. You know, Sprint has fiber optics. AT&T has some, but not as much.
They're still far and away the biggest, though, aren't they?
They are the biggest, but look at, you know, the experience they've had. After a couple of years, once Sprint and MCI merge, which I'm sure they're going to do one day, it'll probably be better for everybody. I think it will be anyway.
Reagan did that, didn't he? Was it
no, it wasn't Reagan. The wheels were set in motion in the 60s for this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Back when?
That's when MCI first started, back in, I believe, 68.
Uh-huh.
They were supposedly just a long-distance company for businesses between two cities, but it started growing, and other lawsuits were filed, and the whole thing was eventually going to come to a halt, because you just can't have a monopoly like that.
Yeah,
even though it seems in every other form of business, monopolies are coming about, you know, all these mergers and acquisitions.
But, yeah, true, but now they get like a million different companies, you know. Instead of, like, dominating one field altogether.
Right, but that won't do us any harm if we're educated, if we know what it means. And I think we should. You know, I think it's wrong to just assume everything's going to work for you every day. You should know why it's working and how it works and how to manipulate it so that you can make it work better for you.
Yeah, that's true. You couldn't trust, a big corporation like that.
I don't recommend it, no.
You know, because ultimately they're out for profit more than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, anything, you know, morality, patriotism, anything, they'll sell it all, you know.
Uh-huh, yeah, individuals don't mean very much to them, that's true.
Not everybody, but, you know, that's how it is a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't trust them myself.
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling, sir.
Right.
Okay, we're going to make one more quick call here to another company. Well, to a company, I guess we haven't called any. This is something I found in a magazine. Working assets long distance. Now there's another easy way to support progressive nonprofits at no cost to you. Working assets long distance donates 1% of your charges to groups like Greenpeace and Amnesty International, while giving you high quality service and low rates through an arrangement with U.S. Sprint. Start saving and donating today. Call this number, which I'm about to call now, and which I'll give out in a second. Hold on, I gotta spell out a word here. Okay, let's see what we get. They might not be open, but maybe they can help us out a little bit. If they're open, that is.
Hello, you've reached Working Assets. If you would like to receive an application or information about any one of the programs in the Working Assets family of Donation Link services, at the tone, please leave your name, address, and how you heard about Working Assets. If you have any questions about your account, please leave your name and telephone number and the first four digits of your account number. We will get back to you as soon as possible. If you would like to reach us directly, our office hours are 8:30 to 5:30 Pacific Time, Monday through Friday, excepting holidays. Thank you very much.
Yes, hello. I'd like information on Working Assets, please. You can send that to me. My name is Eric Corley. That's Corley. That's care of WUSB Radio, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Never hang up on an answering machine. Just cut your speaker so that you can see if it's voice activated, if the computer comes on. Ah. See? It does that. And it hung up after. Didn't hear my voice anymore. Okay, so do we have time for more calls? Yes, we have time for a couple of others. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, I got a suggestion for the guy who was annoyed by people calling to sell him stuff.
Calling the what?
When one of your earlier callers, he was getting annoyed by people calling up him up to try and sell him stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What I just do is when someone calls and they're trying to sell insurance or whatever, you know, I just tell them, well, you know, there's someone upstairs who'd really be interested in that, and then just, you know, I tell them I'm going to go get that person, then just set down the phone and, you know, go finish my breakfast or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, if they're figuring, you know, if we spend 15 seconds on the people who don't buy stuff,
uh-huh,
then, you know, we can make like 100 calls and find one sucker and make some money on them and we'll make a profit. But if they spend like 2 or 3 minutes waiting for that person who's going to buy stuff to come to the phone and then finally give up.
Oh, that's real nasty. I like it.
You know, they're going to go out of business.
Yeah. You know what I really hate, though, and what's probably springing up as a result of that kind of tactic are the machines that call you. Do you ever get a machine calling you?
Yeah, and if it's a voice-activated machine, what you do is you set your phone down next to a TV that's on. And, you know, when they play back the tape or whatever, they're going to get Gilvin's Island.
Well, you know, that's the kind of show you watch, huh? what happens is the thing calls my answering machine, and I come home, and my answering machine has been having this nice long discussion with the computer that calls it, you know, and they're both feeding off each other's voice activation. It gets kind of crazy sometimes.
Yeah, but as long as it's costing them and not you.
Yeah, it
okay.
is. But also, what happens is they ask you questions, and if you happen to listen to the questions, it's always good to give the most bizarre answers that you can possibly think of, especially if you know it's going to affect what they're doing. You know, like they're asking all kinds of questions about home values and things like that. And I don't think they're ever going to want to send a salesman anyplace near where I live now after the things I've told them about the neighborhood. You know, so it's fun to do things like that.
Yeah. Okay, one quick question. The elevators here on campus, they have these emergency phones in them?
Yeah, the Roam phones.
The
yeah.
Roam phones, and they don't have numbers on them. Is there some way to find out what the phone numbers are on
yes,
those?
Yes, there is, but you have to have access to a system called phone mail.
Uh-huh.
Phone mail is basically the only way you can have an answering machine on campus. When you call phone mail, it will tell you what extension left the message.
Uh-huh.
So what you do is you call someone's answering machine, listen back to the message, and the message will reveal the number that it came from and give you the option of calling that number back. Also, there are some phones on campus that have little CRT screens that tell you what number is calling them. So if you know somebody who has a phone like that on campus, you can just call them up and say, hey, what number am I at? You know, the system can do that. The system is very sophisticated. And one day, supposedly, all phones will have those capabilities. You'll be able to call somebody and they'll be able to know what your phone number is. It's kind of scary when you think of it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, good. Bye.
Bye. And that's going to do it for us this week. Sorry I was late. I really, really am sorry I was late. I didn't mean to be. It won't happen again. But maybe we'll talk about this technology stuff in a future program, because there's so much to learn, so much to do. To wrap up what we started talking about, payphones are different now. You have to be careful when you make operator-assisted calls. Look on the payphone, see what company carries the call. And if it's some weird fly-by-night operation, I would advise not making the call unless you want to see how their phone bills look or something, or how much they charge. You have to be careful. You have to be knowledgeable. And if all else fails, call collect. That's the show for this week. We'll be back again next week, 10 to 12, for Brain Damage. See you then. Stay tuned for the Brothers here on WUSB Stony Brook.
The lunatic is off the grass.